Just like to say good morning to those that have had a chance to speak to this morning. First of all, we thank God for each and every one of your presence. We know that each and every one of us has busy schedules. But any time that we get so busy that we cannot come together and sit for an hour to hear a portion of God's holy and divine word, brothers, sisters, and friends, then we have become a little too busy. We know that, without a doubt, that someone was living last night that's not living today. And the fact that you and I are here this morning is a testament that God is still shining his grace upon us. So we ought to be eternally grateful to the mercy and grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, this morning. The Bible teaches us in the book of Isaiah, chapter 40 and verse 8, says the grass withereth and the flowers faded, but the word of our Lord endure it forever. And so that's a blessing to serve a God that never fails. The Bible teaches us in the book of Proverbs, chapter 30, and verse 5 and 6. It says that every word of God is pure, and he's a shield to them that put their trust in him. Add not to his word, lest he reprove thee, and you be found a liar. In the book of Romans, chapter 3 and verse 3, the Bible says that, what if some do not believe the faith of God? Shall the unbelief make the faith of God without void? The Bible says, nay, let God be true, and every man a liar. So anytime anyone says anything differently than what we read about in this Bible, they are lying. The Bible says, let God be true. Every man a liar. We want to look at a passage, a scripture this morning that ties into my subject this morning as the soul that never dies. I want to read in the book of Ecclesiastes, and this is King Solomon writing this morning, chapter 12, and I'll read down through verse 1 through 7. And notice what King Solomon has to say. He said, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh. He said, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. He said, while the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. He said, in the day when the keeper of the house shall tremble and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the granders cease because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened. He says, and the doors shall be shut in the street when the sounds of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. He says in verse 5, and also when they shall be afraid of that which is nigh, and fears shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail. Because man goeth to his lone home, and the mourners go about the streets. Or ever the silver cord be loose, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Then the dust returned to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Solomon says, vanity of vanities, says the preacher, all is vanity. I want to let those scriptures serve as our scripture reading. And the subject is the soul that never dies. King Solomon gives us a picture of this aging process of the human being. And King Solomon failed miserably in his youth. He went after all those things, material things, and he turned his heart against God. And we remember in 1 Kings chapter 11, you read that sometime, where King Solomon had 700 wives and 300 princes and concubines. And all of those things that he went after in his youth, as he looked back in his olden age, all those things and material things turned his heart against God. And so he encourages the young men and women to get to know God in your youth before death comes. Get to know your Creator. And we want to look at a passage of scripture as we go through this lesson, through this aging process. And if we don't believe that we are aging, look at a picture that you took 15 years ago. Then look in the mirror. And we'll see the aging process. Even a child that's 8 years old, look at another child that's 15 years of age. That child is old to a person that's 8 years old. You know, I know that I can get some Just for Men, and I can get rid of this gray hair in 5 minutes. But the inside, I cannot hide. And that's what the Bible is teaching us this morning, that as we look through this lesson, we hope that we will learn something from the Word of God that will help us to be better Christians in the future than we have ever dared to be in the past. But before that we go any further this morning, we count this as a blessing as well as an opportunity to go to our Heavenly Father in spirit and in truth. Let us humble ourselves once again while the One has been appointed to lead us in prayer. As we just read in Ecclesiastes, the aging process of the human life, I just want us to look at an encouraging process. The Apostle Paul teaches us in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16 through 18. I just want to read these passages of scripture, where Paul encourages each and every one of us. This is what the Apostle Paul says. He says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." He said, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." He said, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." And through faith, our brothers and sisters, faith moved us to believe in God. And we see a glimpse of God's glory through faith. That's what the Apostle Paul is saying, that do not for one moment give up, because this light affliction that we are going through is just for a moment. And the glory that we will receive one day far exceeds everything that we will experience and go through in this life. He said, do not give up. I just want to share a story with you this morning, a true story, that we experienced Thanksgiving week. Sandra and I were out at Walmart doing some grocery shopping, Thanksgiving, the week before Thanksgiving, that Monday. And I ran into a lady that knew Sandra. She and her husband also were there shopping. So I stood and talked with them for a few minutes. And then we departed from each other. And the next week, that Thursday, her husband called me and told me that his wife had passed away. Now, I had just seen this lady and talked with her. And she seemed to be in good health. And I could hardly process what he was saying to me, that they were having her viewing that Friday night. She had passed away. Oh, how soon we can depart from this life. I've just seen that lady a week ago. So the question is, where does she go? She told me that she was cooking Thanksgiving dinner that morning. And she told him that she was tired and she was going to lay down and get some rest. And death came to her in her sleep. She never woke up. She passed away on Thanksgiving evening. The question is, where do we go when we close our eyes for the last time? What happened to us? Are we dead all over like the dog Rover? Or is there a life after this life? What happens to us when we close our eyes for the last time? And that's what we'll deal with this morning as we go through these passages of scripture. I want us to look at Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. The book of Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. And notice what the Bible teaches. It says, and the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathe into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now that's the human soul. As we remember, we read over in Ecclesiastes that all spirits go back to God who gave it. God formed man out of the dust and breathed into his nostrils, and man became a living soul. And brothers and sisters, that's what I want to share with us this morning, that we are not only just body, but we are also soul and spirit. We all, this morning, every last one of us, is a trichotomy. And what I mean by that is that we all are made up of body, soul, and spirit. So I'm saying to us this morning is that let's not get caught up in the body and trying to satisfy the body when we have a soul and we have a spirit. Because one day this body will die. And the only thing that dies is what God say will die. And that is the body. So one day the body will separate from the spirit and the soul. I want to look at a passage of scripture here in the book of Romans chapter 12. And we'll see what the Apostle Paul has to say here. The book of Romans chapter 12. Notice what he says. He said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And so we see that we have a spirit, we have a body, and we have a soul. And all three of these constituents will one day have to give an account to God. All three, the body, soul, and spirit. And I want to say this morning that you don't see the real me that makes me me. And I don't see the real you that makes you you. And the real reason that I don't see the real you that makes you you, and you don't see the real me that makes me me, is because the real me that makes me me and the real you that makes you you lives in a house. And that's our body. We have a soul that never dies. Now this body one day will die. But our soul will never die, and our spirit. The Bible says that, and we will look at that, the spirit goes back to God. And our soul go to a different place. And everything that happened to Jesus Christ on that cross will happen to us one day. And I want to look at and give us some examples in the scripture. I want us to look at the book of St. Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. And we'll see that what happened to Jesus on the cross will also happen to us one day. Notice what the Bible says here in the book of Luke chapter 23 and verse 46. Now, this is Jesus on the cross. He's dying on the cross. He says, and when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said this, he gave up the ghost. That's one dimension. That's the spirit. Now, Jesus also was also a trichotomy. He was a man just like you and I, but also he was divine. He was truly divine. But while on earth, he was a man just like you and I. And the Bible says that when he died, his spirit went back to God. And that's where all spirit goes. Does that mean that a person goes to heaven when they die? No. Yeah, I used to think that when people died, they slept until the judgment. That's what I used to think. And I used to be afraid of death before I got to know God. And you know, the Bible teaches us that Jesus gave up the ghost. You know, you hear that. At funerals, people say that regardless what type of life a person has lived, they always put them in heaven. And so I'm thinking that what happens after death? Do we go to heaven? Because, you know, in the Bible, in Hebrew 9 and 27 says that it is appointed to men once to die and after that to judgment. I said, what happens then? A person goes to heaven. Then in judgment time, God pulls them out of heaven and he judges them and they go back. I was very confused about that. But through studying God's word, we see that that kind of thinking is a person without knowledge. But we don't look at what happened to Jesus. Now, the Bible tells us that his spirit went back to God. Now, like I said, there's three dimension of man. Then look what happened also to his body. In verse 52 of that same patch of the scriptures, Luke chapter 23 and verse 52, the Bible says, this man went unto Pilate, he's talking about Joseph of Arimathea, and begged the body of Jesus. He begged the body of Jesus. Well, what did he want to do with the body? Notice, verse 53, and he took it down and wrapped it in linen and laid it in the sepulchre that was hewed in stone, wherein never man before was laid. That's the second dimension. His body went to the ground. His spirit went back to God, then what happened to the soul? Well, let's take a look at that. In the book of Acts, chapter 2 and verse 31, we'll look at a passage of scripture there. Acts chapter 2 and verse 31. I'll go with 31. The Bible says, therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Jesus on his throne. He seeing this before spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. Now that's the third dimension. I need to stop and explain this about hell. Because Jesus did not go to Gehenna, which is hellfire. John the Revelator tells us in the book of Revelation 21 and 8, says that all liars will have their place in the lake of fire that burned with brimstone. That's what John the Revelator says. Jesus did not go to Gehenna. What Jesus did, when he died upon that cross, he went and preached to the disobedient spirits that were in prison. He went to the Hadean world. He went to Tartarus. The Bible tells us that there are two holding places in the Hadean world. You have paradise, and you have Tartarus, which is another word for hell. And paradise is where those that are obedient and have served God go to when we close our eyes for the last time. And Tartarus is where the disobedient goes when they die. To Tartarus. And they are there until the judgment. I want us to look at a passage of scripture here in the book of Luke, chapter 16. And we'll see what happens to a person when they close their eyes for the last time. When a person closes their eyes for the last time, do they know anything? Are they going to remember anything? Is there life after this life? When we close our eyes for the last time? What happens to a person? I want to share these passages of scripture with us. In Luke 16 and verse 19. Notice what Luke says. And this is in red. Now, this is Jesus speaking, because if you have the King James Version, when you see red, this is Jesus speaking. Notice what it says. He said, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. Now, this rich man that dressed and decked out in purple, and he ate good every day. Now, we don't eat good every day, do we? I mean, when we get paid on Friday, we kick it up a little bit. But on every day, this rich man ate good. And he was in his fine linen. Now, Christ did not condemn this man for eating good and dressing in fine linen. He didn't condemn him for that. Eating good and dressing good was not the rich man's problem. God's not going to condemn us because a woman wear a white dress or a man wear a red suit. God's not going to condemn us for that. God is not into fashion. Notice what happened. The Bible says in verse 21 says, and desiring. Now, in verse 20, it says, and there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sore. The rich man didn't have time for Lazarus. Lazarus saying, Mr. Rich Man, I don't want a full course meal. I don't want a filet mignon steak. I just want the crumbs that fall from your table. And the rich man didn't have time for it. He didn't have time for Lazarus. But brothers and sisters, this morning, what I want us to understand that God sends an equalizer to all of us. One day all of us will go 6 feet under. And it doesn't matter how much money we have, what kind of dresses we have in the closet, what kind of suits we have in the closet, what kind of cars we drive in. All of that stuff doesn't matter. God sends an equalizer for all of us, and that is death. And we don't know when it's coming. But one day death will knock on all of our doors. And we need to make sure when it comes that you and I, we have made our calling and our election sure. Because one day we will all stand before the judgment bar of God and give an account of everything that we have done. Notice what happened here. The Bible says, and it came to pass in verse 22 that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Into Abraham's bosom. See, this is what we need to be concerned about. Is that how we live in this life? Is that when we close our eyes for the last time, that the angel will carry our souls into God's paradise? That's what we need to be concerned about. And the Bible tells us that the rich man also died. Notice what it says. And Abraham's bosom, the Bible is metaphorically speaking, is a tight rest. Notice what it says here in verse 22. It says, the rich man also died. The rich man died. Lazarus, the beggar died. The rich man died. We're not through with it. We're not through with the rich man. The rich man died. And he was buried. Notice. The Bible says, the rich man died and was buried. In verse 23, it says, and in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. We want to know what's going on when we close our eyes for the last time. Are we going to be able to remember? Are we going to be able to see? Are we going to be able to talk when we close our eyes for the last time? Brothers and sisters, when we close our eyes for the last time, we have just begun to live. Because we have a soul that never dies. Our soul never dies. It depends on how we live and what we need to be concerned about. Are we going to paradise? Are we going to Tartarus? That need to be our concern. I don't want any of us to go to Tartarus. Notice the rich man, Lazarus was begging for food and he didn't have time for Lazarus. But now when he died, the rich man, he looked over and he saw Lazarus resting. He saw him resting. And he called out to Father Abraham. Notice what he says. He says, send Lazarus that he may come and dip his finger in water. He's saying, I don't want a bucket of water. I just want him to dip his finger in water and come and cool my tongue, for I am in torment. Now, he's in Tartarus. He's not in hellfire. He's in Tartarus. That is the holding place for the disobedient. And the only somebody that has been able to go to Tartarus and come out is Jesus Christ. Because he holds the keys to heaven and to hell. Nobody else has come out of Tartarus. When you get down there in Tartarus, you're locked in. There ain't no coming out. And I know that what some of the Catholics teach. They teach that purgatory. that when you get to Tartarus, if you can give them a little bit of money, they can pay you out of there. And Miss Cleo, the palm reader, says that if you give her a little money, she'll let you talk to your grandparents and your friends. Don't believe those lies. Nobody comes out of Tartarus. Notice what the Bible says here. He says that in the verse 23, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, now, this is the person that died, the rich man. Can a person cry when they close their eyes for the last time in death? The Bible says that, and he cried, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. You notice? He didn't have mercy on Lazarus. But now he's looking for mercy. He said, have mercy on me. You know, the old people had it right when they said, what goes around comes around. But you know what God says in Galatians 6 and verse 7? It says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. He didn't reap this in his life. He had a good life, the rich man, but he reaped it when he closed his eyes in death. So now he's crying. He wants mercy. Somebody have mercy on me. When no one is listening. Notice what the Bible says. He says, have mercy on me. And send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in torment in this flame. Notice what Abraham said in verse 25. But Abraham said, son, remember. You see, brothers and sisters and friends, we can remember when we close our eyes for the last time in death. He said, remember that thou in thy lifetime received thy good things and likewise Lazarus' evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art in torment. We're going to remember. People are going to remember. And the only thing that a person has to look for if they die on the outside of the body of Christ is remember that they could have made it right while the blood was running warm in their veins. They made a mistake. That's the only thing they have to look forward to. Let's say that a person died in the year of 1930. And that person died on the outside of the body of Christ. Where do you think they are now? They are in Tartarus. And the only thing they have to look forward to is torment day in and day out, begging and crying. Somebody have mercy on me. And nobody is listening. Notice what Abraham told him. He says that in verse 26, he said, besides all of this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that will come from these. Notice what was said. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. This is what the rich man is saying. Send Lazarus to my daddy's house. I got five brothers back there, and I don't want them to come down here into this torment. But Abraham said, it says that there's a great gulf. Neither can we come there or you come here. Notice what he says. Send somebody to my father's house. And Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto from the dead, they would repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophet, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. The rich man died on the outside of the body of Christ. And brothers, sisters, and friends, this morning, as we look at this lesson, we see that there is a life after this life. We're not just dead and going to sleep to the judgment, but there's a life after this life. That's why that we should work hard. Let our families know, our friends, and even people we don't even know, strangers, to see if they've heard about the good news. Because one day that we all was going to face the judgment, we will see God, whether in peace or those on the other side. This lesson is yours this morning, and hopefully something was said from these scriptures that will be instrumental in the stirring up of our pure minds that will just cause us to think as we journey through life. We come to God this morning by the hearing of his word. The Bible teaches us this is the good news, is to hear God's word, Romans 10 and 17. So then faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And after hearing it, we must believe it. In the book of St. John chapter 20 and verse 29 and 30, the Bible teaches us that many signs Jesus did in the presence of his disciples that are not mentioned, but these are written that we might believe that Jesus is the Christ, and through believing have life through his name. So we must believe God's word once we hear it. And after we believe it, we must repent. Luke 13:13-3 says, I'll tell your name. Except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And after the repentance comes the good confession. In the book of Romans chapter 10, 9 and 10, the Bible teaches us that if thou wilt confess with thy mouth that Jesus is the Christ, and God has raised him from the dead, so thou shalt be saved. With the heart man believe it unto righteousness. The Bible teaches us, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So we must make the good confession. After that, we are buried with Jesus Christ in the watery grave of baptism. And this is where we are saved when we have our sin washed away, is in the watery grave of baptism. These are God's five steps of his plan of salvation. So we are subject to the gospel of any manner, or we just need prayer. While the invitation selection is saying, let us all stand, and we're subject to the gospel in any manner, we may make the good confession.